is here.
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing, back in the end zone, leaping, grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. I'm Bill Enright, joined by Anthony Grace. He's the PPR monster. Fantasy football draft season is here. We're here to help you dominate, and there's a lot of ways that you can get in touch with us. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Hit us up on email, web, radio at Patriots.com, and also check us out on Twitter at FFChamps. Anthony, my man, another week closer to the NFL season. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Bill. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. Pumped up.
Yeah, just week three's coming up into preseason, man. This is the most important time of the preseason. Get another week in, and then, you know, week four of the preseason nobody really cares about. But this is the week to watch to get all your final information before you get that draft going.
Yeah, the third preseason game is the one that we see the starters the most. So it's not the one that we pay the most attention to, but it is the one that has the most impact in terms of the first-team offense, first-team defense.
Yeah, correct. So you get your starters for at least the first half, probably going into third quarter for most teams. And, you know, any major starter who's sitting out, don't be scared. Shady McCoy had a little thing coming on with turf toe. We'll get into the injuries a little bit later, so don't worry about anything like that.
Got to give a quick shout-out to our producer, Kevin Collins. What's going on, Kev?
Not much, boys. Just catching up on my rest from Friday night.
As the Eagles, you know, everything a little bit calmed down now that the Eagles are out of your facility?
Yeah, it's a much quieter week this week, which is good. And also, we had our last public practice yesterday. So things are quieting down a little bit, and we're starting to get into more like the rhythm of the regular season here.
Oh, very interesting. Gronk gets on the field for the last time of the public practice.
Yeah, he got beat up pretty good yesterday. We're working him really hard.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the injuries in a little bit, just like Anthony mentioned before with LeSean McCoy. We got a great show planned. Next 2 weeks, big for fantasy football draft. So today we have your running back and wide receiver sleepers to discuss. We'll also go over the latest injuries from around the NFL and how they'll affect the rest of the preseason. Plus, we're taking a look at the FFChamps.com cheat sheet. Tell you who is moving up and who is moving down. Certainly something that you'll want to use when it's time for you to draft your team. And, of course, we're taking your telephone calls, 855-728-7500. The email is webradio@patriots.com. Got to mention that Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports. It gives you a chance to win real money every single week. And guess what? We finally did it. We have a very special contest just for the FF Champs members, just for our Patriots.com listeners. So if you want in on the action, you go to FFChamps.com/Pats. It's an exclusive contest. Only our listeners will be able to join. I believe there's $500 in cash prizes just for week one. So, again, it's ffchamps.com/Pats. Don't want anyone to miss out on that great deal. By the way, you get a free membership to FF Champs once you go to that link. Anthony, I think we should get to the injury breakdown because at the top of the show you mentioned LeSean McCoy, and there's a couple of very important players, McCoy included, that kind of popped up on the injury radar this week. You know, some fantasy managers, you have a top three pick, you see McCoy, you see Jamal Charles pop up on the injury report, you start to panic a little bit.
Yeah, I got a couple questions about McCoy just popping up out of nowhere with that turf toe, potential turf toe. Same thing with Jamal Charles not making the trip to Charlotte this past week. But, you know, don't panic, nothing major, they're going to be okay. Nothing to get your panties in a twist about.
All right, so we'll start with McCoy. He reportedly has a minor case of turf toe. Not expected to be serious. He was already out there practicing. So we're not worried about him. He's still the number one running back at FFChamps.com. Should still be your number one pick in all draft formats.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Yeah, McCoy's going to be fine. Don't worry about him. He'll be back. If they sit him out game three and game four, it's just to get him ready for opening week against Jacksonville.
Now, Jamal Charles injured his foot. He had x-rays. He had an MRI. Both of them came back negative. It's reportedly a very minor injury. I have less of a problem with the injury and more of a problem with how the injury happened. You know the story?
I did not see exactly how it happened, no. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
He was moving out of the dorm rooms from training camp.
It's always something crazy like that, like, man. It's the worst thing.
It didn't happen on the field. It didn't happen during a drill. He was moving his clothes and his belongings out of the dorm room. You know, most of these NFL teams that go to a college campus, they stay in dorms during training camp. He was moving his stuff out of the dorms. Why is Jamaal Charles, the franchise player for the Kansas City Chiefs, moving his own stuff? They don't have a rookie to take care of that kind of thing?
All right, throw a college kid a couple bucks. I'm sure he'd be happy to do it for you, Jamaal.
So, anyway, McCoy and Charles, two of the top three running backs at FFGems.com. Both minor injuries, nothing to worry about. As Anthony said, don't get your panties all twisted.
All right.
Let's move back to quarterbacks for a second. Drew Brees was at practice this week. He's missed the first two preseason games and basically 2 weeks of practice because of a strained oblique muscle.
Yeah, again, another guy who you know is going to play. He's going to be fine. He's not going to miss a beat. He's been doing this for a long time. So missing a few days of a couple weeks of practice, a couple of preseason games for Drew Brees is really nothing.
Cam Newton was medically cleared to return to practice. He also played in the team's second preseason game. He was rehabbing that ankle surgery that he had back in March for pretty much all of the offseason, but Cam Newton back on the field for the Carolina Panthers. Now let's go back to running backs now that we got McCoy and Charles out of the way in the quarterbacks. Jeremy Hill, the rookie who I love from the Cincinnati Bengals, he injured his shoulder in the second preseason game, but he later tweeted that he was just fine.
Yeah, no worry about Jeremy Hill. Same thing, just a little bump and bruise for him. He'll be back. He'll be strong. Good backup. Handcuff him to Giovanni Bernard if you're picking up Gio this year in your draft.
Two things to worry about. Charles Sims of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will miss 3 to 4 months with a broken ankle. Sims was supposed to be drafted as the running back by committee for Doug Martin, so that's a pretty significant one there. Isaiah Pete of the St. Louis Rams tore his ACL, and he is out for the 2014 season.
Yeah, Charles Sims, that hurts him. I mean, he looked like a real strong rookie, especially catching passes out of the backfield coming into this year. But, you know, maybe anyone who drafts Doug Martin, that's going to give him a few more touches with Charles Sims being out, so that won't hurt. Isaiah Pete, same thing. Sad to see him go down, but I believe he was, what, fourth on the depth chart behind Benny Cunningham and Trey Mason and your Zach Stacy. So Isaiah Pete going down, sorry to see it, but not much fantasy implication with him, I don't think.
My number six running back this year is Monte Ball, and he is back to doing individual drills after undergoing an appendectomy earlier in August. So we never moved him down our rankings, but now that he's back in practice already, or at least back doing some kind of athletic activity, that's certainly good news.
Yeah, we've been on the Monty Ball train all off season, and like you said, a few weeks ago, getting that appendectomy, we weren't too worried about it. We knew he'd be back for the regular season. No worries with Monte Ball.
Couple more running backs to get to here. Arian Foster was dealing with that hamstring injury and his the back injury, but he was back at practice this week. Steven Jackson of the Atlanta Falcons still hasn't returned to practice. I don't think he's going to play at all in the preseason. And then Jonathan Stewart for the Carolina Panthers. We know his injury history is pretty lengthy, to say the least, but he was in action for the second preseason game, scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he looked good in that preseason game, but we know he's getting hurt, you know, at some point pretty early, as per usual. So, you know, Jonathan Stewart doesn't really do much for me.
Do you ever draft him?
I don't touch a Carolina running back ever, and I don't think I ever will. I was interested if Kenyon Barner got on the field any time this year, potentially. I kind of been watching him since college. So, but, you know, if he gets on the field, I like to see what he can do. But D'Angelo Williams just, you know, getting in that over 30 range, and Jonathan Stewart is, you know, softer than Cottonell, so...
Moving over to the wide receivers, and we got Sammy Watkins, the rookie, the very highly touted rookie for the Buffalo Bills. He was injured his ribs in the second preseason game, but guess what? Back at practice as of August 19th.
Yeah, finally got a couple catches in that second preseason game after being shut in the Hall of Fame. So don't worry about Sammy Watkins. He's a big boy. He'll be perfectly fine to be drafted.
Sticking with the AFC East players, Eric Double Decker for the New York Jets missed the second preseason game with a quad injury. You know, obviously Decker got downgraded a lot since he's not catching passes from Peyton Manning. But when you think about it, he's the Jets' only playmaker in that receiving game. He has to have some value.
Yeah, he has a little bit of value, it just in that respect that he's going to be getting pretty much every target from Geno Smith or Michael Vick, whoever will be in for that week. Eric Decker going to get a lot of targets, but again, that offense is pretty sluggish, so I'm not a huge fan of him. But if you're in a PPR league, he's going to be targeted, so don't be afraid to grab him. He'll definitely catch a lot of balls.
All right, Marquise Wilson of the Chicago Bears, broken collarbone, sideline until midseason. Marvin Jones of the Cincinnati Bengals, I think we went over that last week. He has a broken foot.
He will be
out for, I don't know, 5 to 6 months maybe. Andre Johnson of the Houston Texans back at practice as of last week. He has an injured hamstring, but I don't think he's been in the preseason games just yet. Michael Crabtree, update for him. He played in the team's second preseason game after injuring his hamstring on basically like one of the first days of camp. So that's good that he's back in action because we're expecting big things from Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, I love Michael Crabtree. I was a big fan of him going into last year. Sad to see that he got hurt. And, you know, it opened up the field for Vernon Davis and players like that. But Michael Crabtree coming back could be a true number one for a lot of teams out there.
Two rookies to report on, one good, one bad. Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants re-injured his hamstring yesterday. He's been dealing with this hamstring issue since minicamp. He sat out the first 3 weeks of training camp, sat out both preseason games. Now all of a sudden he comes back to practice, comes up lame on a route, and he is back on the exercise bike. Doubtful that he plays in any of the preseason games this year. I'm labeling him one of the biggest busts of the first round this year. On the opposite end of that is Kelvin Benjamin of the Carolina Panthers. He was also injured at the beginning of training camp with a bone bruise, but he was able to play in the first preseason game, able to play in the second preseason game, and now he's putting in work as the Carolina Panthers' number one receiver.
Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin, I think, is going to be fine. I was worried about Cam Newton coming into the season. He lost all his receiving weapons other than Greg Olsen, and they took a chance on Kelvin Benjamin late in the first round this year, and I think they're gonna be happy with who they picked up. He looked great on that circus touchdown that first week, even though it wasn't from Cam Newton, but he's got hands, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got a little bit of everything, so keep an eye on him.
And there's no one around. I mean, there is no one there for Cam Newton to really pass to other than maybe Greg Olsen.
Yeah, outside of Greg Olsen, Kelvin Benjamin's going to be the only other guy really seeing a lot of pass. I mean, Jason Avant and Jericho Cotri. Sorry, guys, your time has passed, you know. So look for Kelvin Benjamin to get a lot of looks and catch a lot of passes this year.
All right, let's move over to tight end now. The Miami Dolphins' Charles Clay is back at practice as of August 17th. He injured his knee on August 4th, missed the first preseason game, but I like Charles Clay. He's in our top 10 at the tight end position. And then, of course, we said at the beginning of the show, Rob Gronkowski cleared for contact and participating in 11-on-11 drills, still recovering from that ACL injury. Very impressive that Gronk, just 7 months after the surgery, I believe he had it January 4th or 5th of 2014, back in practice, back cleared for contact, and, you know, in 11-on-11 drills. That really says something about how quickly he recovered from this injury.
Yeah, seeing him get hit already is definitely a great sign for him. They were saying he's going to be in for week one, and he's taking more and more positive steps every single day to get to that point. So don't worry about Rob Gronkowski. Going to play, going to be number one or number two in tight ends if he stays healthy for this year.
Kev, you got any insight on how Gronk looked at practice yesterday?
He looked really tired at the end of it. They worked him really hard. I'd say we were estimating yesterday after practice that he caught roughly in the neighborhood of 50 passes, which is
wow.
A lot. Yeah. And he had no, excuse me, no red jersey, no non-contact designation. But the one thing that was interesting, Bill, is that the first day they take, I'll say, the red jersey away from him, he goes back to wearing that arm armor he had on his elbow.
Oh, you mentioned that he even had that on
last
week.
Yeah, so he took that off for the first time last week, and I guess maybe just to give him a little added flexibility or mobility since he wasn't going to get hit. But since he took some contact for the first time yesterday in some 7-on-7, 11-on-11, the body armor was back on.
Okay. All right.
So that's a little
inside
tip.
I'm all right with that.
So that's pretty much all I got. It was just it was really good to see him out there doing everything for the first time this year, and it was – you know, I think a big day for him personally to see how his body would react to a real physical practice for the first time in I don't even know how many months.
Well, it's good to see Gronk back in action, at least just in practice. Reports were that he's 50-50 to play in week one. It's way too early to speculate. If he doesn't play in week one, then hopefully he plays the rest of the 15 games. If he does play in week one, perfect. Let's hope he plays in all 16 games.
Bill, if you were – and let's go at this from a fantasy perspective – would you want to see Gronk play in a preseason game before you drafted him?
Don't need to see him.
Don't need to see him. I think that's how most people feel.
I know what he's capable of.
Yep, I think that's how most people feel.
Yeah. Rookies, any team with a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, maybe a new free agent signing, I want to see those guys in preseason. But not a guy like Gronk. You know, same coaching staff, same quarterback. Everything's familiar with him. I have no worries of him trying to learn a new offense or, you know, getting back chemistry with Brady, nothing like that. Makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty much how I feel. I hope he stays in bubble wrap until week one.
Guys, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here. We're heading into the third preseason game. So far, we've been very lucky. Everyone knock on some wood, because so far we've been very lucky with the amount of injuries that we've had. Vic Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts, Kendall Hunter of the San Francisco 49ers. Are they decent NFL players? Sure they are. Are they major fantasy football impact players? No, they are not. And I'm very happy that we've avoided that injury, that, you know, that dreadful injury like we've had in the years past, where, you know, some major players very high in our on our cheat sheets have gone down with an injury. So knock on a piece of wood and, you know, rub a, you know, my bald head or something. I don't know what it needs to do for good luck, but
I didn't know where you were going, Bill, with that.
Yeah.
I'm hearing knock on wood and then rub my head, and then I'm wondering where the hell you were going.
Find a Buddha. Rub on a Buddha belly. Those are always good luck.
That's it. I got a Buddha right in front of me, actually.
I got Buddhas all over my house, man.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely went bald there. But the point is that, you know, let's hope nothing happens. But, you know, odds are that something will happen.
Hope is all we got right now.
For what happens, too, exactly. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to go to Josh in Virginia. He's in a 10-team standard league. What's going on, Josh?
Not a lot, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. What do you got for us today?
All right. I got a trade question, ad drop question, and possibly a team grade question, because I drafted this team for my girlfriend by surprise at 8:30 Saturday night when I was a little drunk.
So, wait, if you drafted her for your girlfriend, let's talk to your girlfriend. We don't, you know, let's hear from her.
Well, she's a workman. I'm just trying to get us started in playing, because we're at the point I'm starting to have to choose between family functions and fantasy football. So I figured I'd go ahead and stop that before it started. You know, get her excited about it, get her in the game, and that way she can join my league, you know, in a year or two, and she figures out what she's doing exactly. But
all right, okay. What do you got for
us? Basically, I got Alfred Morris at my running back two. I got Matt Patay is my starting running back. I got Gio Bernard as my flex. My quarterback is RG3. Defense is the Bengals. Stephen Hauschka, the kicker. And Zach Ertz, the tight end.
But you didn't name any wide receivers.
My wide receivers are Alshon Jeffrey and Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
I was thinking about packaging up Gio and Crabtree and trying to ship him off in exchange for maybe Adrian Peterson, if I could get the sucker to go for it. But I'm not sure if I want to do that, because I don't know. I know AP's got a tough schedule, and I don't know if Gio's just going to go off this year. And
well, if you do that, you'll only be left with Alshon Jeffrey at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's true. I do have Julian Edelman and Golden Tate on the bench, but I don't think that either one of them are going to do a whole lot.
Is this a PPR league?
Non-PPR.
Yeah, see, Edelman loses. We went over this a couple weeks ago. Guys like Edelman, guys like Eric Wes Welker, Kendall Wright, all three of those players, they lose a lot of value in non-PPR leagues because they catch so many passes. So when you got a guy like Julian Edelman catching 105 passes in 2013, you're not getting any of those points. He comes down with six catches a game. That's pretty much like a touchdown. So I'm with you there. Edelman, Golden Tate, and even Crabtree as your number two, not very good in the PPR format. That being said, your running back depth is what you have strength on this team. Alfred Morris, Matt Forte, and Gio Bernard. So if you trade away Gio, you give away Crabtree to get Peterson. Forte and Peterson is quite the combo, my man.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. But then, you know, you get really excited about your team, and you start looking at the other depth charts, and you're like, oh, man, you know, some of the teams in the league are just, you know, they're probably not even going to contend, and then some of them are just, you know, supercharged, kind of like mine is. But
and what do you think, Ed? Does he do this trade, Giovanni Bernard and Michael Crabtree for Adrian Peterson?
I feel like if you do something like that, Adrian Peterson obviously better than Giovanni Bernard. However, you're getting real, real shallow on your wide receiver depth. And hanging on to Gio Bernard, he's a little bit of a downgrade from Adrian Peterson, but he's also on a much better offense. So he might have a lot of chances to score more points than Adrian Peterson, especially if Teddy Bridgewater, you know, rookie quarterback comes in. You don't know what he's going to be doing for you. So I would hang on to Gio and Michael Crabtree. I feel like that gives you a better starting lineup than getting rid of both of them for Adrian Peterson and taking an Edelman or a Golden Tate to start every single week in a non-PPR format.
Yeah, I'm with Anthony here, Josh.
All right on. Also, another problem, guys, I got like four tight ends on this roster. Of course, you only start one, but, you know, Kyle Rudolph and a couple others getting stolen right out from under me. I went with Zach Ertz starting him, but I also have Greg Olsen, Clay, and Eric Ebron sitting on the bench. I want to drop two of these guys and take us some handcuffs. Which one would you drop? Or which two would you drop?
Probably is not a keeper league or anything, right?
No, not a keeper.
I mean, I guess you start off by dropping Ebron.
Yeah, he's unproven at this point, so he's the best bet to drop. I mean, Zach Ertz, I think he's in for a big year. And same thing with Greg Olsen. We just talked about him a little bit. He's going to be the first look for Cam Newton this year, not having many wide receivers there.
Josh. Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, no problem, buddy. Best of luck to you. I like seeing him get his girlfriend involved, you know, by drafting her a team and then, you know, having her run it.
Yeah, it can't hurt anything. And, yeah, easy trade bait, potentially. I mean, so it could work out for you.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that's smart of him to get, you know, his girlfriend involved.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend hates fantasy football, so. Oh, God.
Is that just because you spend too much time on it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's all I do, obviously. You know what it's like, so.
Kevin, still in a relationship?
Oh, yeah.
What is your girl? Well, you're a little different because you're Patriots, you know, your team is really your job. So
I think Anthony's girlfriend's whining fantasy in the background.
So, yeah, something's
she's
whining.
Angry.
She's very, very angry.
But, Kev, I'm saying, like, you're a little different because your job is for the Patriots. It's not really like fantasy's taking up a lot of time.
No.
It's more of just football in general.
Yeah, I'm just in two fantasy leagues, so it doesn't really take up any time.
No, but football still
does. Football is pretty much my life is football.
Like, does she hate football season?
No, I think she likes football a lot. I think she
get you out of the house.
Yeah, well, she doesn't care for, you know, the fact that every weekend from, I'll say, Labor Day through New Year's and even in beyond most years with us is like completely off limits. Like, we can't go away.
Right.
We can't, you know, the family parties and this, that, and the other thing. The holidays are really tough. So I don't think she's thrilled with my job, but I think she puts up with it. And she definitely likes, she loves coming to the games, and she definitely likes watching them on TV, too. So it's not like she just doesn't like sports or doesn't like football.
Right.
So she gets some enjoyment out of it.
See, my girlfriend does not like football, but she'd put up with watching a game on like a Monday or Thursday night just because she knows the other option is me just going out to the bar.
Yeah,
like
spending time together.
Yeah, she'd rather
nothing,
be watching the game than me being out. Especially because she knows my friends are rowdy and, like, she doesn't really... Not that she doesn't want me hanging out with them, but she just thinks trouble may be brewing.
Yeah, it'll get you in trouble. That's usually the way it goes down. You try to be on your best behavior and something stupid always happens. You know, that's just... If you're at a bar, it's never a good situation.
What I feel gets me out of a little bit of trouble, Bill, is that... So instead of a Sunday, right, where if I was, you know, doing something fantasy related, like, you know, like you guys do, run a website, you know, do podcasts.
Right.
And say, you know, I'm not sitting there watching like Red Zone or like watching all the games and studying all the players and how they're doing and whatever. I'm actually like physically gone from the house.
Right.
So I think that buys me a little slack where if I was at home just like a complete couch potato for the 12 hours that football's on Sunday, I think I'd get a lot of crap for that.
Oh, see, that's what I love.
No, that's what I love too, but I think I'd take some serious static.
See, I don't know, man. She likes bringing me snacks. She likes making dip. She likes bringing me food, making food. She actually doesn't mind when the guys are around watching the games because she feels like, I don't know, she's doing stuff and, like, making us food.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus. I mean, anytime food's coming at you and you're sitting there, I don't think you can say that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy it. Let's go back to the phone lines. 855-728-7500. We got our boy Avi in Miami. What's going on, dude?
Yo.
What's up?
What's up, Avi?
What's going on, guys?
Not much, man.
Hanging out.
Hey, so I lied to my girlfriend. I have a draft tonight. I'm told I'm going to the library to study.
The library? What are you studying?
Well, I'm doing my master's right now. And
you are?
She'd get so pissed. Yeah, I'm doing my
master's. What? Organic chemistry?
No, biotechnology.
This guy, man, I'm very, very curious. Like, he's a mystery man.
Yeah, I don't play, man. But I still need money from fantasy. That's why I'm calling you guys.
All right, that's fine. We're here to help you out. So you told your girlfriend you're going to the library. I love it.
Yeah,
you have a draft tonight. What pick do you have?
We'll get the ninth pick.
All right, 10-team?
10-team. So
I like it. I like the back end.
I like that, too. I mean, I'd like 8. I think 8's a huge difference for me. But right. 9's cool. Here's my problem with 9, all right? I usually go running back, running back. I mean, that's for me, like, that's the base, the foundation of my team.
Right.
But with the 9th pick, man, like, those top two tiers won't be there. So I was thinking this. I was thinking receiver. I don't think Calvin Johnson will be there. I was thinking Demaryius. Initially, what I did was receiver, you know, go like Demaryius, Brandon. But then I noticed that I'd wait so long for my running backs that I just can't do it. So my question is this. I was thinking of doing something like, I don't know, Demaryius, Monte Ball, and then I'd probably do like Ellington as my third round. Mm-hmm. So my question is, for my fourth round, which is like I think it's the second pick in the fourth round. Are you guys comfortable with drafting someone like, not Cordell Patterson, what's his name? The wide receiver from Arizona. Not Fitzgerald.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Avi, is it a PPR league or not?
Standard, no, it's standard.
All right. So let's abandon the idea of going receiver in the first round. It doesn't make sense.
No, yeah. I'm thinking more like Demaryius and then Ball from...
All right. That's fine, but keep in mind you're drafting two players from the Broncos, which is, if you're going to do it for any team, the Broncos, the Packers, probably the Eagles are the only teams that you really want to do that with because they spread the ball around, they score a lot of points, throw the Bears into that mix as well. Those elite offenses in the NFL.
Yeah,
that being said, if you go Demaryius in the first round, what about if Monte Ball's not, what about the guy behind you who goes Monte Ball, Marshawn Lynch?
Well, that's fine because I still got, like, every time I draft, I mean, like, just on average, for the most part, I always see Gio's still there, Ball's still there. Let me see.
There's no way if you're getting Marshawn Lynch in a standard format. I love it.
Yeah, I'd love it, too. I don't think I'm going to get him. Usually he's going now. Like, he's dropping, man. I've noticed that, like, they're picking Eddie Lacy before him. But
I'm assuming McCoy, Peterson, Charles, Forte, Lacy are all off the board before you go.
Right.
Is there a chance a quarterback goes?
What's that?
Is there a chance a quarterback goes?
Yep.
All right, so one quarterback. Now we're at pick 6. Any Jimmy Graham? Don't think
maybe
so?
Maybe like 50-50. Yeah, I'd say maybe Jimmy before me or after me.
All right, so let's say Calvin Johnson goes.
Right, Calvin Johnson comes before me.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson's gone. And then let's say Marshawn Lynch. So available for you would be Dez Bryant, Monte Ball, Jimmy Graham, and Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green.
I've drafted A.J. Green a couple times already.
I think you should go Monte Ball, Dez Bryant. Take Ball in the first and then Dez Bryant in the second, or whoever that best available receiver is. Hey,
right.
You with
See,
me
I'm
here?
Comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with those like running back, receiver, running back. My whole thing is, all right, in the third round, I'll go back to running back. I need a strong running back. I always get Ellington. All right, from Arizona. I love the kid. You know, I mean, he can't really run through the tackles, but I think he'll do just enough to become my running back number 2.
How many receivers do you start?
I have 2 receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex. It all depends. I for the most part, I have depends on who I draft on my third. You know, if I draft a running back on a third, then I'll draft in the fifth another running back for my flex. If I draft a receiver in my third, I draft a receiver in the fifth.
Just be careful, man. If you go Ball, Demaryius, and then Michael Floyd, Andre Ellington, you're putting a lot of your eggs in one basket. And by the way, all of them have a week 4 bye, which could be a good thing.
Yep.
Get it out of the way. Stack them up. Get it out of the way, and then you'll have a full strength for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Me personally, I'm not going.
I'm not going both Ellington and Floyd. I'm okay with you going with both of the Broncos. And where do you weigh in on this?
Yeah, the 2 Broncos, okay, but Ellington and Michael Floyd back to back, definitely not the best pick. But being in a standard league where you're at, you can pretty much just take a best available, and you're going to get a stud receiver. You're going to get a very good running back, like you said, a Monte Ball, even maybe Le'Veon Bell in the second round if you go with a Demaryius Thomas or something with your first pick. You're going to have 2 studs to start, and coming back, you're going to have another good pickup as far as a running back or a wide receiver, depending on who's best available there at the time.
Yeah, it's that fourth round that's kind of killing me, you know? Yeah. Nothing really, like, that just jumps out to me. Like you know, the last call, he had, like, what did he get? I think he had Alfred Morris. He had, like, 3 studs. I was thinking to myself, how did this guy get, like, 5 tight ends and 3 studs?
Yeah,
you know?
He had Alshon Jeffrey and Crabtree. I don't know how he got Morris, Gio, And Forte. I don't know how that happened.
He was drunk.
Yeah, and he was drunk, too. But he said he was drafting for his girlfriend's team, so I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. My girlfriend would kill me, man. I got to go to the library, supposedly, tonight.
All right, have fun. Check in with that library,
all right,
card, buddy.
I'll
hey, listen,
you,
you might want to rent a book.
Rent a book? Yeah, well, she knows I'm a
How do you rent a book?
What do you mean? You go to the library and take out a book.
Man. You don't. I would call it like renting a movie. You take out a book. You don't rent a book.
Yeah, yeah, we're watching you to school, bro. You don't rent a book.
whatever. I would take out a book. I would just, you know,
there you
leave
go, Billy.
Evidence.
Now you're sounding like a Harvard man.
I would leave some evidence. That's
there
what I'm trying to tell
I'll talk to you guys.
All right, later.
All right, see you,
tell him to take out of Mice and Men or something like that. Scholarly.
No, so he's biochemistry or whatever the heck he said. Biophysics. What did he say he was majoring in?
Something very scientific that neither of us can understand and know what's going on.
Take Mice and Men. He needs to take out like a Stephen Hawking, like, you know, do black holes exist or something like that?
Yeah, that's a better bet.
Yeah. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. We're going to go to Nick in Pennsylvania. You're up next on the Fantasy Football Champs. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Bill. Hey, Anthony. How you guys doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Well, my question is very similar to Avi, except I'm 12-team PPR. I've got the 11th slot. We talked last week. I'm going running back, wide receiver, or wide receiver, running back. Most likely, Peyton is going to go. I just know my league, and someone's going to pick him early. The top five running backs are going to go. Jimmy Graham's going to go because the guy right in front of me loves him. And so I'm figuring I'll probably be able to get Brandon Marshall and then either Monte Ball or Gio coming back around.
Perfect.
And I'm like throwing balls up in the air as to whether his appendectomy, I'm sure it'll be okay, but I'm thinking beginning of the season, do you think it's just better to go with Gio and then just fight him for the year?
No, I think if you have the option of taking Monte Ball, then that's who you should take.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just need you to talk me off the ledge, that's all.
No, it's no ledge because you're still getting a top eight running back in the PPR format. I like Gio, but I think Jeremy Hill takes a lot of action away from him. I think for Monte Ball, it's his show in the running game. I hate Knowshon Moreno, and he was a top five back last year, and that's only because of Peyton Manning. So for you to get that option to get a Monte Ball with the 11th overall pick, and he has the potential to put up top six numbers, you have to go with that.
Yeah. Should I pick him with the 11th and then come back, and if Marshall's gone, take Antonio Brown? Is that probably better?
What do you think about that, Ant? Do you think he should go wide receiver or running back in the first or second?
That's the best available situation in the second round. I mean, having two stud wide receivers, same thing, that's great. Me personally, in my drafts, I'm targeting Antonio Brown in the second round. Anytime he's sitting there, I want to snatch him up in a PPR because that dude's just going to get thrown to constantly all year.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Two other quick questions just on kind of where you should target him. I have always loved Reggie Wayne, and I know he's coming back after, you know, injury and stuff like that. And in the mock drafts I've been doing, he's falling into, like, the 7th and 8th. And it's a PPR, and he's the security blanket there. Do you think that, 7th round, reaching for him there is, I'm going to wait on my QB.
7th round's a reach. He's going an ADP of 9.
Okay, so if he's there in the 8th, grab him.
Yeah, I would take him in the 8th, not in the 7th.
Okay.
Reggie Wayne is a guy that in a PPR league he'll be good. He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns. The Colts added a lot more receivers this year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Reggie Wayne's one of my guys too. Loved him throughout his career. It might be, I'd rather be a year early than a year late. And
right.
I think this year you might run the risk of being a year late.
Oh, okay. All right, so maybe I'll see who else is there, and then if he's best available.
Golden Tate, Brandon Cooks, Terrence Williams, all going around that area.
Yeah, okay. And then Justin Hunter, 11th?
Justin Hunter, we're going to talk about him a little bit later when we're going over the up and down players on our cheat sheet. And he had a phenomenal preseason game this past weekend, and he had a really explosive play, and a lot of people are jumping all over him. I get it. I think he can be one of those players this year that far outweighs his ADP. I hate Jake Locker. I hate him. I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. I'd rather see Hunter catching passes from Charlie Whitehurst. So I'm a big fan of Kendall Wright because he's a PPR machine, doesn't get into the end zone a lot. I'm a big fan of Justin Hunter because he's explosive and can make a big play. I just don't like the team he's on. If you take him as your fifth receiver, great. I'm not taking him as my number three, though.
Okay, and then finally, Matthews on the Eagles. After the 10th, if he's around?
Anthony and I both love Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, he's one of those late-round picks again. But, I mean, as a rookie, just, you know, living in the Philadelphia area, just hearing what they're talking about and watching him play in practice, that he's going to be something special. Maybe not this year, but, again, with the way Chip Kelly has his offense set up and throwing the ball and just quick passes, they finally got a big guy who can go across the middle, play the slot. He's got great hands. So someone like that, again, for fifth, sixth, wide receiver, having someone like that on your bench, he could end up paying off real, real well for you as a flex player at some point this season.
All right, and I appreciate the help, and the drafts start next week, so good luck to all of us, right?
That's right.
That's it, man.
Nick. Thanks for calling in.
See you, Nick.
855-728-7500. I think we have time for one more caller, and then we're going to take a quick break. We got Todd in Jacksonville up next. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great, man. What you got?
Good. Hey, 10-team PPR. You guys helped me last week with my keepers, and now I'm just, like, going back and forth, racking my brain. I shouldn't be doing as much, just follow what you guys tell me. But I'm keeping Bell in the 15th and Cobb in the 13th.
Yeah, perfect.
Right?
Yep.
And so now, and I asked you about Gronk in the 5th, which is, I haven't picked 9, so that's, like, the second last pick in the 5th round. You guys are like, no, not really. Just take Graham in the 1st. But I also have Vereen and Ridley, and I've been thinking about possibly keeping maybe one of them. Yeah, I know it's risky because, you know, you never know with the Patriots backs.
All right, let's backtrack a little bit here. How many do you get to keep?
I also have Vereen and Ridley for keepers, possibly,
no.
If I wanted to.
Time out. Let's backtrack. How many do you get to keep?
2.
Bell and Cobb.
Cobb.
Bell and Cobb. That's it. Stop. Bell and Cobb.
Bell and Cobb.
That's it. Let's not overcomplicate the issue here. You get the most value out of the most out of the best production, 13th and a 15th round, and you're thinking
you know, the first two picks. I could go with, like, I could pick 2 out of Demaryius, Dez, Green, or Marshall.
Yeah, that would be tremendous with Bell and Cobb already on your team,
and not have, like, and then just start picking up running backs like PPR guys, like Vereen and all those guys.
Go after Vereen. Go after Danny Woodhead. Get Pierre Thomas on your team in the 6th, 7th, 8th rounds. Absolutely, dude. Listen, you have tremendous value here. 13th and 15th round. Some people are going to be taking their defenses in those rounds. You have a stud number one wide receiver, a stud number one running back. Why would you want to screw with that?
So that's what I was wondering. If you could be okay with going with, like, those two stud guys and not having, like, you know, if Ball or say Murray or someone like that was there, even if possibly Lacy fell, because I don't know a lot of my guys, people here,
then draft them. That would be great.
So I was thinking of going those two stud receivers and just foregoing the running backs and just getting them to like 3-4.
What stud receiver? You didn't mention another receiver other than Cobb.
No, I'm saying, like, drafting my first two picks, first two rounds, like Dez, Green, Marshall, or Demaryius. Getting like 2 of those.
Listen.
Going for a running back.
You have the 9th pick, right?
9th pick, yeah.
10-team?
10-team.
All right, so if a guy like Monte Ball and Dez Bryant are there, that's who you're going to take. But I have a feeling that they won't last that long in a keeper league.
Yeah, I mean, the first two, actually, so the first 3 rounds, you can't keep anybody anyways. Because those guys get thrown back in.
Right, I'm just saying, I don't know if they're going to. Because other people are going to be drafting in front of you. I don't know. I'm not sure based on who they're keeping. I don't know if those guys will get to you. Maybe someone takes Dez Bryant if they're keeping, you know, Doug Martin and C.J. Spiller. I have no idea what's going on in your league.
Right.
But, you know, listen, are you check out ffchamps.com. Go on the cheat sheet. Fill out your scoring system. Everything's customizable. Figure out, you know, do a mock draft. We have the free mock draft application that lets you import your keepers and you know, decide which draft position you're in. I you have to do all that stuff. Don't just speculate. Try to do the FF Champs mock draft. It's a great tool. It'll help you. It'll bring some clarity to who will be available for you. After you import all your keepers, it'll take everyone off the cheat sheet that's already being kept.
All right.
Now, so doesn't sound too
enthusiastic. No, good. I drank a couple Red Bulls, so I'm all hyped up.
All right, Todd, best of luck to you. Call us back on Thursday if you need some more help with your keepers, all right?
All right, guys.
Thanks, see you, man.
Drink a couple Red Bulls. You're supposed to be amped up after that.
All amped up on Mountain Dew.
Listen, we are just getting started. A lot of callers, a lot of emailers. Loved that at the start of the show, but keep them coming. 855-728-7500. Webradio at patriots.com.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
What was that, Kev?
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
There you go. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings on patriots.com radio.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
The
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Having trouble setting your draft order for the 2014 season? Give Bill and Anthony a call at 855-PATS-500 to see where you should draft your favorite stud. Now, back to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go! Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. Bill Enright, Anthony Grace, Kevin Collins all hanging out with you on a very nice Tuesday afternoon. A couple more weeks away from the start of the NFL Week 1 season, 2014 season. A few days away from week three, the all-important week three of the NFL preseason. It's NFL draft. It's fantasy football draft time. If you're drafting this week, next week, you want to give us a call, find out who you should take. I'm very concerned, Ant. It seems everyone's asking about their first and second round picks when they really should be asking, you know, what's your strategy in the fifth round? Who's a sleeper that I can get in the ninth round? Because your first and second picks aren't going to make or break your team. It will if you draft a total bust.
Right.
But if you know what you're doing and you take someone that is going to finish with, you know, relative of where they're being drafted, that's not the secret to winning. The secret to winning is drafting a guy like Josh Gordon last year when he was going in the eighth round and he ends up as your number one, you know, wide receiver.
Yeah, when I'm doing mock drafts, when I'm looking at my information, I'm almost skipping the first 2 to 3 rounds because I know who's going to go for the most part. You're going to have one guy who does something stupid every year. That's not surprising. But for the most part, the first 2 to up to maybe the end of the third round is pretty much set. Guys will flip-flop spots here and there. But if you're going to win a championship, you got to draft deep. You got to draft a solid bench. And that's probably the most important thing to do to get into that championship game and win it.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Back to the lines we go for our boy Russell in New York City. What's going on, Russ?
What's up, fellas?
How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's going on over here? I've been a little bit busy today, but I heard what Avi was saying, and I was like, let me call up these guys. I got to get your opinion on something. I'm the fifth-round pick. I don't draft for a while, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm September 1st, so we got time between now and then. But I got a quick question for you. I draft in the fifth hole. I got a guy who's whining about his 10th round pick, his 10th spot. And I heard, Bill, what you just said, which is like, I don't mind the back of the draft, really. I kind of think these middle spots are, there's something weird about them. Because you go 1 through 4, you know what you're doing.
Right.
You go at the back end, you kind of know what you're doing. And I'm in the middle and I'm starting to do some weird, you know, some kind of horsey stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever traded their draft pick? Because if I trade down in my slot, what do I get from the guy for it? Because he's whining about the 10. I wouldn't mind the 10. Has that ever happened in fantasy football?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Someone called me today asking. Actually, I did it last year to get Jamal Charles. I traded down from 6 to 3. So the same guy called me today. He has the number 2 pick. I have the number 8 pick. He wants to switch with me, which last year I was all about it, and this year I kind of like the 8th pick. But all I ask of him is that we just swap first and second rounders.
First and second rounder.
Which is fair, because if you're in a snake draft, I have the 8th pick. It's in a 12-team league, so I would have a pretty decent, you know, second-round pick, whereas the second overall pick in the first round is, you know, the second-to-last pick in the second round, so we just swap first and second rounders. It gives him a little bit of an edge in the third round because he's up on the clock, you know, pretty soon. But it's not that bad.
Because, I mean, you go in the 10 hole, and you know you're going to get, like, a stud wide receiver and a stud running back. I mean, I'm dying to get Monty, you know. I'm really dying to get Monty Ball. So it's like, I'm not going to get that out of the 5 hole.
Why not?
He's just not coming back to me, you know. I mean, the way I see it.
You can take him at 5.
No. Are you serious, Bill?
Why not?
Well, I know that. The number on the I don't want to give away too much info, but on the FF Champs cheat sheet,
yeah,
the number
Lacy.
One wide receiver is Dez Bryant.
All right.
I want to get Dez. I was thinking Dez in the first round, and then call me crazy. I was even thinking about Julius Thomas in the second round.
Yeah, you're crazy.
and then best available running back in the third.
Let's backtrack to that Julius Thomas pick. That's crazy.
I'm telling you, this is why I'm doing some horsey stuff, which is why I'm thinking, like, maybe I do the pick swap with this guy.
All right.
From the fifth hole to the tenth hole, and at least I'll be reined in a little bit more because I won't have my mind swirling.
If you have the fifth pick, take Eddie Lacy.
All right, so now you're back. Because when I called you from the Borgata in one of the show, we were talking.
Hey, can you believe Revel is closing?
Oh, please, that place. Somebody's going to buy it.
Someone has to buy it. It's my favorite place down there.
I might go
down there on September 1 and just start taking things off the wall. Just like stealing furniture, like random couches.
You know, all of AC is dying. You know what? No one will listen to me, but if they want to save AC, you know what they got to do?
Shut down another five casinos? Consolidate?
They're doing that already. Sports gambling. They got to legalize the sports gambling down there.
Yeah.
That'll bring them in. You would be down there every weekend.
I would be, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I know you.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know you're degenerate.
Back to your team. I'm sorry. I just had to mention that since you said Borgata.
No. So week one, we were talking about, listen, get us a wide receiver in round one.
All right, so then go Desert Demaryius.
Right, go Desert Demaryius, and then who do I come back with all that time later? Everything's gone. Monty's gone. Everybody's off the board.
Not Julius Thomas.
I'm not sold on Andre Ellington. I'm sorry. I see a repeat of last year where they don't know how to use this guy. They say they're going to give him 20 touches. They give him 10 touches.
Why don't you go with Anthony's boy, Antonio Brown?
So then you're going,
what do you think of that? Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown to start the team.
Listen, I have the same exact situation, Russell. In my main league, 12-team PPR, I'm picking out of the five hole. And in my mind, my strategy, unless McCoy or Peterson or Jamal Charles falls to me, which odds are it's not happening, I'm going with either Demaryius Thomas or Dez Bryant, and I'm taking Antonio Brown on the way back as long as he's sitting there. If Antonio Brown goes early, then again, I'm going to have an option to get a Gio Bernard or someone like that in the second round. Monty Ball might come back. I don't know. But if your heart is set on Monty Ball and you don't want to take him with that fifth pick, then flip-flop picks in those first two rounds, and you're still going to get an Antonio Brown or a Jordy Nelson in the end of the second round and have a stud wide receiver and Monty Ball. So you can have it all if you want.
Right. All right, but back to your first scenario, if it's Dez, Antonio, who do you go with third? Because what I'm worried about is, like, you got to go running back at that point, and then you're into the second-tier tight end. Like, you're giving up Julius, Cameron. You're already into the Ertz and the Rudolphs and I know you guys are high on Witten. Should I then be looking at Witten for tight end if I go WR, RB, first three?
Yeah, because you got a lot of depth at that tight end position. Like you said, Jason Witten, Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis is going to drop a little bit this year. Zach Ertz. I mean, you got a lot of depth at that tight end position. So if you don't get Julius Thomas, don't get hung up on it. And plus, he's only done it for 1 year, so who knows? I mean, he's got the skill set. He's probably going to be good again, but you never know. You can't guarantee anything with last year.
No, you're right. I rode him to the championship last year. What more can I ask of him? And Eddie Lacy, too. I mean, like, I had guys on my team last year that did it all for me. I don't want to go back to the well too often. So, all right, awesome. I don't want to hug up all the airtime. Thanks a lot, guys. And I'm going to look at that philosophy for my draft. Thanks, Ed.
All right, bro. Take it easy.
Now, see you on Twitter.
All right, man. See ya.
Later.
You know what, though? What he was just saying, Bill, is interesting because that basically just proves what we just said about drafting late. Eddie Lacy, late round pick for him last year, probably one of those mid round picks because he was a rookie. And same thing with Julius Thomas. I know in my personal leagues, he wasn't even drafted in any of them. And he was just a free agent waiver wire pickup, and he helped people get into the playoffs in my leagues.
There's a difference between drafting a guy like Julius Thomas in the second round and getting all of that production from him, or picking up a guy like Julius Thomas and getting all of that production from him.
Right. And you draft him in the second round, you're expecting real, real big things from him.
And he
did it once, like we said, but Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, they do it every single year. So you're better off taking someone that you know is going to be consistent and has done it than taking a chance on someone like Julius Thomas that early.
Right. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Now, Anthony, you and I have a call screener in front of us, and when the lines are open, They all say idle. When the lines are full, you know, our producer Kevin writes their name in, says Connecticut, tells us, you know, or what team, what kind of league they're in, PPR, how many teams. He gives us little notes, which are very helpful. Now, we have someone on line two right now. It says DAG in Connecticut. But I'm willing to guess this is one of my favorite callers of all time, my boy Jag in Connecticut.
Sir, you're right.
It's Jag, right?
Yeah, it's Jag.
Yeah, see, Kevin, he has potatoes in his ears, and he writes DAG in Connecticut.
Okay. You remember last year you helped me to win like 8 of my 13 leagues.
Jag, where have you been, buddy?
I didn't even know that you started, and I was looking at Football Nation. I thought you might be starting a little bit late. And then I was listening to all your last three shows you had from the August 5th.
Now, Jag, do you realize that we have a new co-host with us, my man Anthony Grace?
Yeah, I think it's weird that he sounds somewhat similar.
What's going on, Jag? How you doing, man?
Hey, doing okay. Welcome to the team.
Good.
It's a great team, and then I love your show.
Now, Jag was in 13 teams last year, 13 leagues.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And how many did you win?
I won 8 of them.
I mean, that's pretty damn impressive.
I mean, that's 70% about, so you can, yeah, you're winning 8 out of 13. That's a great, great thing.
And I really appreciate all the outside-the-box thinking. Which
you got it. That's what we're here for, buddy. I'm glad you signed up for the membership this year as well. I got your email the other day.
Yeah, thanks again. I think it's a free membership. It's no-brainer there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with the free memberships. Even Jag knows. No-brainer. All right, so now how many leagues are you doing this year?
I think I know you hate doing the early drafts, but then in a couple of leagues we do that. I'm already in 3 of my leagues, which are done. I'm planning to do like 8 or 9 this year.
All right, 8 or 9, a little bit more conservative, but let's try to go for like 7 out of 9 leagues that you win.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to them. What do you have to question us for today?
I think I have the late round flyers. I have a couple of names out here. I just wanted to get your view on these people. John Brown from Arizona Cardinals. I'm hearing some good reviews on him.
Speedster should be the team's number 3 wide receiver. We're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Love Kelvin Benjamin. He's another player that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show when we're talking about our wide receiver sleepers.
Cody Latimore, I think he's in.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
The thing about Latimore is there's a lot of veteran wide receivers in front of him. Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, Emmanuel Sanders, even Andre Caldwell. I think he's
a dynasty league kind of guy
year. There you go.
Yeah, I think one side question here. I think you are very high on Emmanuel Sanders. He never did
anything.
Damn
right we are.
He never did anything when he was in Pittsburgh. I'm not sold on him.
Listen, the New England Patriots were willing to give up a first-round draft pick a couple years ago when the Steelers matched their franchise tender. This year, the Denver Broncos were able to snag him away from the Steelers. He is going to be a very dominant fantasy football force this year. Eric Decker, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns a year ago. Those stats have to be filled by somebody. It's going to be Emmanuel Sanders. I know we are high on him compared to a lot of other people, but I'm taking him as my wide receiver too, and I'm going to be laughing my way to the bank.
Okay. Definitely, because I was just not bothered about him, but I will definitely pick him up then. I have another question there. In the middle rounds, who I should target? Reuben Randall, Terrence Williams, or Jared Boykin?
Yeah, we really like Terrence Williams as one of our top sleepers this year. Jag, you're stealing all of our sleeper wide receivers that we're going to talk about later in the show, which is fine. But we like Terrence Williams. Reuben Randall's moving down our cheat sheet, and so is Jared Boykin.
Okay. What about Marcus Lee and Andre Holmes?
Marquise Lee, he's playing for the Jaguars. I think he's a talent, but I don't know how many kind of scoring opportunities he's going to have with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As soon as Cecil Shorts comes back, he'll be moved. Lee will be moved to the number 2 role. Andre Holmes, I don't know, man. What do you think? I mean, he's making a lot of noise in preseason.
Yeah, he came on pretty strong late last year. For an Oakland receiver, I guess outside of James Jones, he would probably be my first pickup. And again, James Jones, people are probably going to be expecting a lot more out of him than they're going to get because of the situation he came from and what he's going to. But Andre Holmes, maybe a late round pick, someone sitting on your bench. And if he doesn't start producing in the first 3-4 weeks, you can just drop him and not worry about it at all.
There you go. How's that, Jack?
Okay, last question here. On the running back, Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray.
What about him?
Should I pick Devontae Freeman somewhere around the middle round, like 11th, 12th round or something, if I get him?
listen, there's a big difference. Devontae Freeman is our number 35 running back, and Murray is, I don't even think we have him ranked.
Oh, okay.
That's a big difference.
Because it's an injury prone, right, in Oakland. I don't know how long those two people in
now,
Europe.
Listen. I mean, we have 107 running backs ranked.
Okay.
If you're worried about, MJD, Marcell Reese, and Darren McFadden all going down, then we, you know, that's more of a pickup issue down the road. But okay, there should be no reason that you're drafting a fourth string running back.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Nine leagues this guy's in. Last year he was in 13, won eight of them, all help from the FFChamps.com staff. So we appreciate our boy Jag. Not Dag, Kevin. Jag.
He doesn't
care. You there?
Apparently.
He doesn't care. No, he doesn't care. You know, he just picks up the phone, types in whatever he wants. Yeah, exactly. Just putting those crickets up.
That's all we're getting from him up there, man.
One more caller, and then hopefully we can get to some running back and wide receiver sleepers. DJ in Florida, you're on next. What's up, DJ?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yo, DJ, pump this party!
Yeah, so I had a few questions. I've been doing a crap ton of mock drafts, and I was wondering, first of all, in like the seventh round, usually I have Brady, Kaepernick, and Romo there, and I can never decide which one I'm actually going to go with on draft day. What do you think about that?
Brady, Romo, or Kaepernick?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe Kaepernick, because he's got a lot of offensive weapons this year, and he's got the rushing yards that he can get.
Tell us about your scoring system.
It's just a 10-team standard.
4 points for passing?
Yeah, 4 points passing, basic rules.
Do you like Kaepernick with the 4 point for passing because you know he's going to run in some touchdowns?
Yeah, he's over Tom Brady in a standard league, I say Kaepernick's your best bet. But looking at Tony Romo, I mean, he might be someone you can wait another round or two on and get a couple more guys at wide receiver, maybe even a second tight end that you can use if you use a flex in the tight end and wait on Tony Romo till the eighth or ninth round.
DJ, we have Colin Kaepernick projected for 366 fantasy points, Romo 365, Brady 359. I mean, they are all right there. I don't think any one of them will be a bad decision. Kaepernick and Romo probably have the most upside. Brady certainly the safest.
Okay. And how do you guys feel about Ben Tate as a running back too?
In the fourth round?
Yeah.
You think you can get him in the fourth? I don't like him in the third, but I like him in the fourth.
Okay.
Ant, what do you think about Tate?
Man, I was so amped up on Ben Tate earlier in the preseason, but watching Terrence West, he's taking me down a little bit. I don't know if I would trust him being a running back, too. A flex, I could see, but running back, too, that's asking a lot out of someone like Ben Tate this year.
All right, well, let's say he goes with Eddie Lacy, Julio Jones, Randall Cobb in the third round, and then Ben Tate in the fourth round. You don't like that as your RB2?
You got a lot of talent at the other spots there. I mean, but if you got someone like I would take a chance on a Toby Gerhardt or a Zach Stacy, Alfred Morris, if one of those three guys is sitting there before I would touch Ben Tate personally.
Gerhardt, Foster, Stacy, Reggie Bush, even Drake Bell, all ranked ahead of Ben Tate.
We know Gerhardt's going to be the workhorse down there, and he's not going to have any competition to touch the ball unless he gets hurt, unlike Ben Tate, who's going to be splitting carries. That quarterback situation is, God knows, there's no wide receivers to throw to. I mean, yeah. It's going to be tough for the Cleveland Browns this year.
Okay.
All right, DJ.
And, how do you feel about, basically, my strategy is to go stud running back in the first round, stud wide receiver in the second round, and then if I can, pick up Gronk in the third round, which I think I'll be able to, because none of the guys in my league really like him.
Well, then why can't you get him in the fourth round?
I don't think they'll let him go that far.
They don't like him. They don't dislike him that much.
I mean, they're gonna pick him up. Some people might even pick him up just because they know I'll trade for him, because I'm the only Pats fan down here in Miami.
Listen, we say this all the time. You don't want to just draft with your heart. We try to tell our producer, Kevin Collins, this all the time, but he doesn't listen to us year after year. You don't want to draft with your heart. I understand that you're a Patriots fan. Maybe you want to go after a guy like Vereen. Maybe you want to go after a guy like Edelman. But I'm not reaching for Gronk in the third round. I just can't do that.
Okay.
I know that's heartbreaking, but we'd rather see you get a better wide receiver or maybe your second running back.
Okay, and one last question. How do you feel about Roddy White as a wide receiver, too?
Absolutely love him if it's a PPR league. If it's not a PPR league, he goes down to about the fifth or sixth round.
Ooh. All right. Well, I appreciate the info, guys, and I just signed up for the FF Champs membership, so...
Well, listen, check out the cheat sheet. It'll certainly help you out because you're talking about a lot of the guys that we have, you know, within five or six spots of each other. You mentioned Ben Tate. Anthony threw out a couple names that we have ahead of our cheat sheet. So, you know, you're in the right area. Let the cheat sheet try to guide you a little bit with, you know, maybe in a more intelligent direction, we should say.
Oh, I'll definitely have it printed out on draft day.
You know, bring your laptop, dude. Listen, DJ, we appreciate the phone call. Listen, the thing about printing out the cheat sheet on draft day, I probably update the cheat sheets maybe four or five times a day.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss an arrow. You don't want to miss any breaking news. You don't want to miss a tier change. And that's what happens when you print out the cheat sheet. Bring a laptop, bring a tablet. The draft tracker works on a tablet. You know, obviously it works on a laptop. But I always have some kind of – even your iPhone. It works on the iPhone. We FFChamps.com has a mobile site. You get our cheat sheet print, you know, right up on your smartphone.
Yeah, that the tool that you got that we have on FFChamps to use to follow the draft tracker, keeps track of everybody's players. That's probably the best tool we have up there for you guys to use. It's wonderful. I mean, keeps track of everything, and even if guys aren't paying attention to the big board up front, it's going to help you. If you know player X, Y, and Z behind you already have quarterbacks and you need one, then you can wait on it. So that draft tracker, take a tablet, take a laptop, do what you got to do to hook it up because it's gonna save you and make you look smart in front of everybody else.
There you go. All right, Kevin's blowing up the Skype saying that we have to take a break. So more Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. Get your free FF Champs membership, ffchamps.com/Pats. Free FF Champs membership. You get our cheat sheet. You get our draft kit, the draft tracker, the mock draft tool, and then everything that we do in the regular season. This is all just draft stuff. Wait until week one comes around and you get the FFCPI. More to come. You're listening to Patriots.com radio.
We're NRG. And we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Amendola slot right with Edelman right. Mulligan, the tight end right. Marine in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola starts it in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right. Throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown, Danny Amendola.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com here on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright along with Anthony Grace and Kevin Collins. We got just about another 45 minutes left in the show, so I want to get to our running back sleepers. Don't forget, we're back here on Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Patriots.com. So if we don't get to the wide receivers today, we'll try to get to those on Thursday. But I also wanted to go over the rookies on Thursday because, you know, everyone's all crazy about rookies in fantasy football. So I wanted to have a little bit of a rookie-dedicated show on Thursday. Thought we'd get to the running backs and the wide receiver sleepers today. A lot of callers, a lot of emailers still to get to. So I want to jump into the running backs here, Ant. You know, running sleeper, just the term, the general term sleeper in fantasy football, my opinion, probably one of the most overused terms, you know, as far as fantasy goes, it's probably the most overused term there is.
Yeah, it's like NFL Network watching the real NFL draft, and everybody says upside and athletic every 8 or 9 words, and it just sends me into a frenzy, and it just gets me so upset. But yeah, sleepers, that's the fantasy football equivalent of that.
All right, so what we try to do at FFChamps.com is we separate our sleepers into three different categories. The first category is our guys, and what we mean by our guys is you won't find these players ranked as high anywhere else on the internet except at ffchamps.com. They're the guys that we believe in. They're the guys that we are reaching for in the first, you know, few rounds to draft. doesn't matter what position they're in, we feel like these guys are someone to target. So that's our guys. Undervalued is the next group, and they're considered the players that their production is going to outweigh their average draft position. And then finally, the last group of players, that's really what a true sleeper is. It's a long shot. We know the skill is there. We know the potential is there. Opportunity certainly there. Maybe they're a little bit older. Maybe they're just a rookie. Maybe they're injury prone. Maybe their depth chart situation isn't ideal right now. But they're a long shot. Somewhere during the season, we think these guys will pop. So let's start from the top of the list. We're going to go with the hour guys. Now, Ant, we have four players on this list. How many do we have here? Four players on this list.
We have four guys on the under our guys right now.
And they go in chronological order, round one, round two, round three, round four. These are the guys that I'm targeting in each of the first four rounds. I'm not saying I'm going after all running backs in the first four rounds, but just to give you an idea of where my head's at, these should be considered in the first four rounds. Like I said, the hour guys, you're not going to find anyone else rank these players as high as we do at FFChamps.com. So starting off, Monte Ball, Denver Broncos. I don't care about the appendectomy. All I care about, he plays on the best offense in the NFL, and he's going to score double-digit touchdowns, and he can run backwards toward a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, he's going to have a perfectly fine season. Like you said earlier in the show, no Sean Marino. He hasn't done much before last year. And Monte Ball, you know, a lot of looks to him last year in his rookie year. Had to work on some pass protection, some small things in there. But, again, he came into the season late last year as No. Sean was breaking down, and he's going to be a great player. I mean, we have him six on our board right now, and I don't think I've seen him in the top 10 running backs anywhere else when I look around online.
Next up is Giovanni Bernard of the Cincinnati Bengals, second-year running back. We love him in the PPR format.
Oh, man, PPR format, Gio Bernard is going to go off again. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis not going to have many touches this year. He's looking kind of shot at this point in his career. Jeremy Hill, like we said, he's going to get a couple touches here and there. But Gio Bernard's going to be leaned on heavily by Hugh Jackson in that offense.
Third round, the third player on our list is also the third round running back that we want to target, and that's Andre Ellington of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, another guy, like we said earlier in the show a couple weeks ago, he's going to be touching the ball about 20, 25 times a game between receptions and rushes. And, I mean, he had, I believe, 18 explosive plays, 15 or more yards last year out of 118 touches. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with someone like that. Might not get in the end zone every play, might not get there as frequently as you want, but especially in a PPR league, this guy's going to put up a lot of points every single week.
And the fourth running back to make the our guys group of the big sleepers at FFGems.com is none other than Shane Vereen of the New England Patriots. Again, PPR monster, love his value.
Yeah, definitely. He was a guy. It was sad to see him go down last year in that first week because you know big things
sad.
In store for him.
Sad? It was downright depressing.
I cried. Many teams, so I couldn't be as upset as you were, but when he came in last year, he set the fantasy PPR world on fire. So having as many catches as he did last year, I believe he had 40, almost 50 catches last year in 8 games. I mean, a running back getting 100 catches is just insane, and he could do that this year.
All right, now let's move to the undervalued guys, because these are players that I think can really help out a lot of teams out there. You won't find any of them in the first or the second round. These are more of the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys that you draft on your team as added depth. Maybe you use them as a flex play, but you know what? Sooner or later, you realize that they have to be every week starters on your team. Maybe you focus on wide receivers early on in your draft. These guys are capable of putting low-end RB1 numbers, high-end RB2 numbers.
Yeah, I mean, all the guys that we have listed here we're about to go through, like you said, they're going to put up numbers that you're going to be satisfied with if you do have a slot where you're drafting, where you do go two wide receivers, or you're someone who takes Jimmy Graham and a wide receiver with your first two picks. These guys are definitely going to help you in that running back area.
All right, so first up on the undervalued list is Alfred Morris. Can't see what is wrong, why people are just avoiding him this year, because I'll tell you, it's not like he puts up bad seasons. He had 1,200 yards last year and 7 touchdowns. The year before that, he had double-digit touchdowns. I understand that it's no longer a Mike Shanahan blocking system. I'm okay with that. I think the RG3 passing game is going to be open up a lot of rushing lanes for Alfred Morris. Can't see why people are staying away from him.
Yeah, like you said, at 1,275 yards last year, which was almost 400 less than his rookie year, and that's when RG3 was healthy and playing at his best in his first two seasons. So if RG3 is healthy and you can get Alfred Morris in the third, fourth round, do it, because this guy is going to put up big rushing yards. He's probably going to put up double-digit touchdowns, and Jay Gruden's going to get him more involved in the passing game as well. So he's going to see a lot more touches this year than he has over the past couple.
San Francisco 49ers running back Frank Gore is next up on the undervalued list with an average draft position of 77, which is pretty much in the middle of the seventh round.
Yeah, Frank Gore, again, as far as consistency goes, the dude's put up 1,000 yards every single year other than his rookie year and being hurt in 2010 when he missed five games. And if he played, he would have put up another 1,000 yards. So
yep.
That's almost 10 straight seasons of 1,000 yards, averaging, I believe, 6.5, 7 touchdowns over that period of time. Where can you go wrong picking up Frank Gore, like you said, in the sixth round?
The player formerly known as CJ2K also makes the undervalued list. He's going in the mid-sixth round. I don't have a lot of faith in Chris Ivory staying healthy. We know the Jets like to ground and pound, and I think Chris Johnson is going to be a big part of that offense.
Yeah, Chris Johnson is going to be a big part of that offense. He scored that touchdown that first preseason game and looked iffy other than that. But that second preseason game, he had a few good runs, showed a little bit of burst again. And another guy had 1,000 yards rushing every single year in his career, which a lot of people, after that 2,000-yard season, people kind of wrote him off. And all he did was do 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns the following year. And people said it wasn't good enough. So if you can steal him from your league mates, do it, because he's going to put up points in New York. He's the best offensive weapon they have.
That's what I think. I think you said it right there. I think he's the best offensive weapon they have.
Yeah,
and because of that, he's going to get the ball a lot.
Yeah, Eric Decker is a great receiver, but Geno Smith throwing him the ball is not looking good. I mean, Geno Smith threw for, 12 touchdowns last year, so you got to be a little bit worried on the Eric Decker situation if you're in a non-PPR league. But Chris Johnson's going to get the touches no matter what kind of league you're in. Draft him.
Staying in New York for our next undervalued running back, it's Rashad Jennings of the Giants.
Yeah, Rashad Jennings of the Giants, man. You know, him and Andre Williams behind him, they're both looking good so far this preseason. Like, Rashad Jennings showing a little bit of burst. He's got some speed. He's a bigger guy. He can bounce around if need be. He can do a little bit of everything. When he came in Oakland last year, put up some good numbers. I was really surprised they didn't hold on to him and opted for Maurice Jones-Drew instead. But, you know, the New York Giants got a gift with the Oakland Raiders getting rid of Rashad Jennings this offseason.
The next undervalued player might quickly become our next our guys type player. I might have to move him because I keep adding him up the depth chart. I keep adding him up the cheat sheet. I keep adding to his projection stats every day. And that's Droik Bell, the Detroit Lions. I'm falling in love with him.
Yeah, man. Droik Bell came in last year. A lot of guys I know picking up Reggie Bush early, expecting big things out of him in that offense. And Droik Bell came in and basically did exactly what Reggie Bush did. So you're in a true running back by committee with them, but Droik Bell is going to give you the best value for where you're drafting him at compared to Reggie Bush.
I mean, right now I have Droik Bell 20, Reggie Bush 21.
Yeah, you can't go
and
wrong.
Droik Bell started at 31 this year. I keep adding him. I keep moving him up.
Yeah, he's gonna be in that top 20, maybe into the top 15 after this third preseason game. If he looks real good in that third preseason game, I mean, this guy's gonna do some big things in 2014.
All right, a couple other undervalued players we have listed here are Danny Woodhead of the San Diego Chargers, both Saints running backs Pierre Thomas and Kerry Robinson, and then Terrence West of the Cleveland Browns. Let's move over to our long shots, and we're going to start with Toby Gerhart of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember, this is a guy that was the backup, the handcuff to Adrian Peterson since entering the NFL.
Toby Gerhart, man, he was in the running for the Heisman Trophy a couple of years ago before he came into the league. He looked real good in college, looking to do big things in the NFL, and he learned from the best in the league. If anything, he took away some things from Adrian Peterson he can take with him into Jacksonville. And like we said earlier, he's going to be the workhorse. He's the best offensive piece they have there, especially if Blake Bortles comes in and is getting acclimated with the NFL, being a rookie. You got two rookie receivers and Cecil Shorts, who's not staying healthy the last couple of years. So the biggest piece that Jacksonville has to lean on is Toby Gerhart.
Now, I just want to mention that the reason why Gerhart is one of our long shots is because he does play for the Jaguars.
Yeah, again, like we said earlier in the first couple shows, you want to draft players from explosive, great offenses. Jacksonville's obviously not one of them, but if you're taking a Jaguar on your team, Gerhart should be that guy.
All right, next up on our list is Bernard Pierce of the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to make a bold prediction and say Pierce outscores Ray Rice this season. I think he's a better fit for Gary Kubiak's zone-blocking scheme. We know Ray Rice is suspended for the first two games of the year. Bernard Pierce is going to be on a lot of my teams this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a weekly starter for some of my squads.
Yeah, I think I agree with that statement. Bernard Pierce is going to be good, and if he does outscore Ray Rice this year, nobody out there should be surprised. If Bernard Pierce gets on fire in those first two games when Ray Rice is sitting, then expect him to be the number one even when Ray Rice comes back, and they're going to slowly work Ray Rice back in. And if Bernard Pierce stays on fire, they're going to go with a hot hand.
A couple more long shots to get to. These are some of the deep sleepers you want to target pretty much after the 7th, 8th round of your draft. Jeremy Hill of the Cincinnati Bengals, I think he's going to get a lot of goal line touches, a lot of short yardage work. He's looked good in the preseason so far. Christine Michael of the Seattle Seahawks, they've been adamant about trying to get him on the field a bit more. Very different running style than Marshawn Lynch, a little bit more explosive, a little bit more speedy. You got a guy like Lamar Miller of the Miami Dolphins. I think they improved their offensive line. Again, I'll say it, I hate Knowshon Moreno. I don't think he will pose as a big threat coming off knee surgery. I think Lamar Miller, that is Lamar Miller's job down there in Miami. And then James White of the New England Patriots. And we've been seeing this guy running with the first team offense. Stephen Ridley continues to fumble. We know Shane Vereen has a lot of injury problems. James White could be in the starting lineup for the Pats this year.
Yeah, James, well, we all know the Patriots like to shuffle around that running back situation, and once you have one little screw-up under Bill Belichick, he's going to sit you on the bench for the game that you're playing in, potentially the next game, like we've seen with Stephen Ridley so many times last year and in the last couple of years. James White's a guy to keep an eye on, especially Dynasty League players out there. This is a guy you're going to want to pick up because he's going to be doing a lot of things in New England over the next couple of years.
I got Theo Reddick on here as Reggie Bush's handcuff. We know Reggie Bush has some injury problems. And then Jonathan Grimes of the Houston Texans, he looks like he's going to be Arian Foster's handcuff this year. And you and I both do not trust Arian Foster.
Yeah, one piece of advice, if you draft Arian Foster, draft Jonathan Grimes because he is going to see the field at some point this season.
There you go. So that was our guys, our undervalued, our long shots. You can find the entire list at ffjamps.com. It is our big sleeper list. We have one for quarterbacks, running backs, which we just went over, wide receivers, and, of course, tight ends. And sometime this week I'm going to put out the bust article as well for all of those positions. So it's always a very, probably one of our most popular articles at the site.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody loves that.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You can also call us, 855-728-7500. Now, if you're not listening to us live, maybe you're on demand on patriots.com, you're listening to us on iTunes, or even on the Patriots mobile app, don't forget you can always hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. You can follow Anthony, the PPR monster. I am at Bill Enright. We'll answer your fantasy football questions pretty much anytime during the day, anytime at night, especially on Sunday morning when you're setting your lineup. Or if you're at your draft and you want a quick question, you can shoot us a tweet. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us when we're off air. So if you're ever listening to us on demand or on the mobile app, that's the best way to get some fantasy advice when we're not doing the live show. But for now, since we are live, let's jump into some emails.
All right, man, let's get into it.
What's the first one you have?
All right, the first one I got here is from a guy named Jeff Carter from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay. All right.
Maybe Stanley Cup winning Jeff Carter. I don't know. That'd be cool. But this is more for this is more for you, Bill. He's got a question about the DraftKings situation going on. He says, "Hey, guys, just wondering if you have to be a new member at DraftKings to get the FF Champs membership. I've been a member at DraftKings since May, but would love to still be able to get the promotion."
So, yes, unfortunately, you do need to be a new member at DraftKings, but you can sign up at ffchamps.com just direct. The deal with DraftKings is you deposit $25 on DraftKings, you get the free FF Champs membership. You can buy the FF Champs membership for $29.95, which, by the way, the prices are going up to $59.95 next week. So now would be the time to get the direct FF Champs membership. But we'll always have that DraftKings promotion. ffchamps.com/Pats is the DraftKings promotion, and you just need to be a new member at DraftKings in order to take advantage of it.
That's all, man. That's all you got to do is get at the ffchamps.com as soon as you can.
Next.
All right, so next up we got my man Dan from Arizona. I've been talking to him on Twitter back and forth for a while now, giving him a little advice. So he decided to send us an email.
All right.
Second year playing fantasy football, and he's ready to go. Now, he's in a league with a couple guys who are pretty experienced, been playing for a while. So he wants to know what positions he should focus on early rounds. 10-team PPR league. He's done some trades, got some awkward draft slots. So he's got a first-round pick, number 6 overall, and then nothing in the second round, and then 2 on the back end in the third round and one of the first fourth-round picks. So he's got a lot of options. He just wants to know what's the best round to snag a running back, tight end, quarterback, all the good stuff we've been going over. And Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, or Calvin Johnson for his first pick.
Well, he doesn't have a second-round pick, so that's kind of interesting. Do you still stick with that wide receiver in the first round, knowing he doesn't have a second?
That's a tough call. Being in a PPR league, Charles McCoy, AP Forte, Eddie
Lacy. Probably Calvin.
Yeah, those are the guys I would target.
I think he gets Lacy at 6.
Yeah, if Lacy drops down there, that's definitely not a bad pickup for a running back. But where he's got his picks in the third and fourth round, he basically has 3 picks out of 7. So he can do a lot of damage in that area. And that could be somewhere if he decides to go with a Bryant or a Demaryius Thomas with that first pick. If he can't get a great running back, then maybe he can get a Andre Ellington and a Shane Vereen and a couple guys like that who will help him out very, very much in a PPR type league.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I do like the fact that he has that stack of picks in the third and fourth. I'm okay with him going Demaryius or Dez in the 6th pick. I'm also okay with him taking Lacy or Monte Ball. He just needs to nail those third and fourth round picks.
Yeah, you got to feel out the draft, because if you're picking 6 and you got 5 straight running backs going ahead of you, you're going to have to take a running back just because it's going to be very, very scarce coming to you, 20 some odd picks later with your first potential running back. So you got a bunch of running backs going in top 5, then snag Eddie Lacy or Monte Ball. But if it's getting mixed up, don't be afraid to take Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas in that first round.
All right, who we got next?
See what we got going on next. Next up, we got Corbin Bates.
All right. Okay.
So he did a mock draft on our FF Champs, and he's got his team listed here. So he says, "I'd be very curious to know how you thought I did. Pick number 8 of a 12-team league. Quarterbacks get 6 points per touchdown throw. All right, non-PPR. So." With he's got Demaryius Thomas, Monte Ball, and Emmanuel Sanders. He says, should I look to diversify? But I couldn't pass up Monte Ball in the second round. Trying to think of swapping Demaryius Thomas for Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant.
Yeah,
so what do you think about that?
That's fine. If he wants to swap Demaryius for Dez, that's fine. I would rather see him trade away Emmanuel Sanders and maybe someone like, I don't know, Jeremy Hill or Bernard Pierce, find whoever has Geo or whoever has Ray Rice, package those guys together, and try to get an upgrade at wide receiver.
Right. Yeah, he's got Demaryius, Larry Fitzgerald, and Torrey Smith are his top 3 wide receivers on his squad.
That's pretty good with Monte Ball and Alfred Morris also on this team.
Yeah, he's got Monte Morris, Alfred Maul, and he also wants to know if he should start CJ Spiller or Bernard Pierce in the first week
season. We don't answer start or sit him until, you know.
Yeah, we got time, and you got to stay tuned for that. If you want to know, keep listening. Listen to us next week and the week after, and don't turn us off ever. All right, so
who do I a starter sit him question in mid-August? Are you nuts?
Don't know yet, but I love the enthusiasm.
The world could end tomorrow. You're gonna have your lineup set, but it'll be all right.
I didn't draft yet, man. Let's wait until we draft at least for it to end. So,
all right.
Oh man. All right. So we got next up. We got our man Andrew C from Cali.
1,000 times.
No, I don't. I apologize negative 1,000 times.
No apologies from this side. All right, so Andrew C. from California, he's asking, he's got a 12-team PPR draft coming up.
Can we just go back to that kid? Who was that, Corbin? Corbin Dallas?
Yeah, Corbin Bates.
Corbin Dallas is his name.
Corbin Dallas, all right.
You know that reference?
I do not know.
The Fifth Element, dude. Bruce Willis.
Oh, I've never seen The Fifth Element. I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah, I'm sleeping on you.
Kev?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen that girl thanks to you in the jumpsuit.
Oh, that's right! Last year!
Yeah, you educated me on that.
Wow, dude, I can't believe it's been a year already.
I've seen the posters, I know what she looks like, but Never seen
Mila Jovanovich wore this, like, oh my god, and this girl, this sexy girl that I graduated with, she wore it for Halloween. Oh man, what an outfit. I forgot all about that. But, alright, well, I guess my Corbin Dallas thing doesn't really get that far, alright? We have to go back to his original name.
Man, Corbin, sorry about that.
Corbin Bates. Anyway, I just wanted to just make a point about his team here, Kev, or Anthony, because listen, he has Monte Ball, Alfred Morris, CJ Spiller, three running backs that we really think can do some damage as a running back one, running back two, and a flex, right? CJ Spiller is your flex. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's got a top wide receiver and three top 20 running backs. That's a good start for a team, for sure.
Then he's got Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitz, and Torrey Smith. And we love Emmanuel Sanders. And Eric Decker's his fifth wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's got Charles Clay as his tight end number one. He was able to stack up at running back and wide receiver, still land a top 10 tight end, all because he waited on his quarterback and went after Tony Romo.
And that's exactly what we've been preaching this entire
preseason. That's the kind of stuff
preseason.
That we preach. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, listening to what we tell. So that's what you want to do, man. Stack those wide receivers and those running backs, because, you know, sometimes you get in your head, who do I start? You know, you got close matchups. But by the same token, if someone else was sleeping on him and drafted Peyton Manning round one, then maybe you can get something valuable for one of these running backs or wide receivers. Great trade bait if you're not playing them, too. Don't forget about that.
All right. Now, I'm sorry. We can move on. But that good job by Corbin Bates there.
All right, so next up, like I said, we got Andrew Seek emailing in from California. Says, 12-team PPR draft. He's drafting on that back end between 12th and the 10th and 12th spot. All right, which starters would you rather have picking in the first five rounds? So he says, Dez, Brandon Marshall, Andre Ellington or Rashad Jennings, Spiller or Vereen, or CJ1K, as he likes to refer to him. Yeah. Or Dez, Keenan Allen, Gio or Monte, Andre or Rashad or Vereen or CJ1K again.
I like team two.
Team two. Dez Bryant, Keenan Allen, Gio or Monte, Andre or Rashad, and Shane Vereen or CJ2K.
Right. So the flex stays the same.
Correct.
The wide receiver one stays the same.
Correct.
Do you see a big drop-off between Andre Ellington, Rashad Jennings, Giovanni Bernard, Monte Ball?
No. No, and if you do with that second
team. You don't, or you do?
I'm for who?
Giovanni Bernard, Monte Ball, Rashad Jennings, Ellington.
Well, yeah, you're going to have a big drop-off between Monte and Gio. They're obviously in that top tier. Rashad Jennings, you don't want him to be your number one. He's a solid number two running back, but if you can get, he's saying he can get Andre Ellington or Jennings on both teams, but swapping out Brandon Marshall for Gio or Monte Ball is going to make your team a whole lot stronger, and Keenan Allen's a great wide receiver to replace Brandon Marshall with.
Right. I'm saying he still ends up with Andre Ellington and Rashad Jennings, but instead of them being his number one running back, they're his number two running back.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that second team is definitely a lot better put together than that first team.
Agreed. Go with the first team, Andrew. Good question. I like how you broke it down there. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about here. Everyone's worried about their first two picks. This is the kind of strategy I like giving out. Andrew from Cali, longtime listener, longtime emailer, knows what the heck he's doing. He's trying to figure out his first five, six, seven round picks. Those are the people that we're really going to help out the most. Anyone with a microphone or anyone with a computer or a keyboard can tell you to take LeSean McCoy at number two. That's not what we're about on the show. We want to help you out a little bit more in depth. So please take advantage and use our wisdom to your benefit.
You got to draft deep to win the championship. That's all there is to it. You can't get around it any other way.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We got Mike from New York City. So he sent us that question last week, Bill, about the who would you reach for, wait on, and who would you not draft? All right. So we said to him, send us an email every week, and we'll play this game whenever you send us an email. So we got another one from him this week. 3 point per reception monsters all have been on the Patriots at 1 point. So who would we reach for, wait on, and not draft between Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, and Wes Welker?
Yes, I love this game. My man Mike from New York City does a terrific job, and we just like to remind Kevin that the youth of America looks up to him, as Mike likes to do every week. We just have to throw that the reminder to Kevin there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Kevin. Mike loves you too, buddy. The youth loves you as well.
I appreciate it.
Yes, right, you good. Got it. Okay, so what are we doing here? We got Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, and Wes Welker. Listen, we went over it. Shane Vereen is one of our guys this year. That's who I'm reaching for.
Yes, so you got to reach for him out of these three.
Who am I waiting on? Danny Woodhead. Because I don't know if it's because of his skin color. I don't know if it's because of his height. But for whatever reason, fantasy football players do not like drafting Danny Woodhead. He's always available in like the eighth or the ninth round. The guy had 76 catches last year. If you're a PPR player, you need to draft Danny Woodhead. So I'm waiting on him because it seems like the rest of America waits on Danny Woodhead come draft day. So I have no problem rushing out. There's no need to rush out and get him. You can just wait on him and he'll fall in your lap in the ninth round. So I guess that means I'm not drafting Welker.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you 100% with everything you just said. I'm not drafting Welker. Danny Woodhead, I'm going to wait on, and I'm reaching for Shanver. Danny Woodhead, man, finished at the 12th best running back in PPR last year, drafted in the 10th round, and he's still going in the 10th round again this year. So that just blows my mind. I don't know what else to say about it.
I mean, listen, that's why he makes our list every year. He makes our undervalued list because that's exactly what he is. He is the definition of undervalued. Let's take a quick break from the emails. Go to Ollie in Florida. What's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Bill?
Going great, man. What do you got for us?
So after your little lecture there, I have a question. I have the first number one overall pick.
Okay.
So, I have a 12-team full PPR redraft league.
You go with McCoy, buddy. Nice and simple.
Are you sure? Here's my concern. Charles Charles I have in a different league, so I'm really leaning to AP.
Just why
the North Turner factor?
If this was 2011, I'd tell you to go to Peterson. But we're in 2014. I'm telling you to go with McCoy.
And because of the third easiest schedule.
Listen, it's a lot more to do with Chip Kelly's offense. The amount of production that McCoy is going to have under Kelly is just unreal. Chip Kelly is the new North Turner in terms of, you know, being the running back whisperer. Let's put it that way. I know a lot of people haven't seen it yet because Chip Kelly's only been with one running back. It's only his second year in the NFL. But I really believe that. I think he's going to revolutionize the way offense is played in the NFL, and we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. I absolutely love LeSean McCoy this year. Jamaal Charles might be my favorite player in the league. I love watching him play. And for some other reasons why I like Charles more than McCoy. But when it comes to fantasy, I'm drafting McCoy first overall.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
No problem, Ali. Best of luck to you, buddy.
Yeah, man. LeSean McCoy, he's still just 2 years removed from a 20-touchdown season. So, touchdowns are hard to predict. But if Chip Kelly gets him the ball a little bit more this year, man, this guy's going to go off.
I'm not worried about Darren Sproles stealing touches. Stealing receptions, I'm not worried about any of that. Yeah,
they didn't bring Darren Sproles in to take touches or be the backup, quote-unquote. He's there to do something different with the offense. They're going to put him on the field at the same time. They needed to replace that DeSean Jackson deep threat, someone that can just grab the ball and run and be shifty, and that's why they brought in Darren Sproles this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just, we have McCoy ranked number one. Why would I tell him to take Peterson? It's like...
I mean, it's
it doesn't add up.
LeSean McCoy is the man in Philadelphia. LeSean McCoy is the man in fantasy football. If you got the number one spot this year, standard or PPR, he's the best guy out there for you.
All right, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. We have a whole lot of emails to get to here. Let's try to pound through some of them. Next up is Josh from Connecticut. We have a problem here. My girlfriend decided to go behind my back and join two of my leagues this year. Problem is, she knows nothing about fantasy football. She has asked for help, but the league won't allow us to trade with each other, so no trade bait. Do I help her draft or leave her with every NFL kicker in the league? As always, you guys are hashtag the truth. Thank you very much, Josh. What does he do here? Have you ever had experience where you said your girlfriend doesn't like football, right?
She doesn't really get into it as much, as other people.
what kind of friends does he have that allowed his girlfriend to come into the league without him knowing? That's right, kind of like, that's a little
right
messed up, right?
It kind of is, man. You gotta reevaluate your circle you're running with, bro.
It's more messed up of his boys than of his girl, I think.
I think what they're saying is that she's better than him. I think that's what they're trying to tell him right now, and that's not cool. But
yeah, that's definitely not cool.
If you're living with your girlfriend, you better not just leave her kickers, because life will be hell for the next 17 weeks. That is a fact.
You know what you tell her to do? You say, listen, sweetie, I would just pull a little bit of, I don't know much about football either. My guys from FFChamps.com basically do everything for me, including drafting my team and set my lineup. Maybe you should check out their site.
Send her over our way. Let her check out the cheat sheets, and then you got an even playing field. Just, you know, she's gonna take people she likes no matter what. That's just what the girls do when they play fantasy football. When I've been around them, and you know, see what happens. But if she beats you, you're gonna hear it for the rest of the year. And you know,
tell her to get into like an all girls league just for just for the first year. And then once she knows everybody, then maybe she can come play with the big boys.
That's it, man. That's what you got to do. Get her acclimated, and then she'll be able to jump into water with you guys.
All right, next email is from Dan Martin. He's in a 12-team league. He has 12 of 12 in a snake PPR draft. I both love and hate this spot based on my experience in this league, expecting at least the top 5 or 6 back to be taken, and hopefully the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks will be taken as well. Wow.
Whew.
My gut says double down on wide receiver with 12 and 13, but that could leave me slim pickings for running back by the time my third-round pick rolls around. What should I expect seeing for backs by the end of the third round? Would it be good enough to set the tone at wide receiver early? Also, where would you reach for Julian Edelman this year in PPR? All right, 3 or 4 quarterbacks gone in the first 10 picks? That's a lot.
Yeah, man, if it's a 6 point per touchdown league, but even in that respect, taking up Matt Stafford in the first round,
yeah,
is
that's kind of crazy.
Ludicrous. So, two wide receivers. Again, if you're going to have really, really shallow running back depth coming all the way back round 3, receiver's not your best bet at that point. You got to take Gio or Monte Ball, like we've been saying all show. One of those two guys and one of those top tier wide receivers is going to be your best bet.
Are you okay? Let's say Julio Jones isn't there. That's the cutoff for the top 6 receiver. Are you okay with him taking Antonio Brown?
With his first round pick?
Well, he has back to back. 12, 13.
If you want them, you're going to have to take them there. Again, if those top 3 or 4 guys are off the board, you don't have Marshall, Megatron, Demarius, or Dez Bryant. Yeah, Antonio Brown, I would take him. And, well, like I said, one of those two running backs, Monte or Gio, if one of them's available for you.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't mind taking Antonio Brown there as long as you get one of those running backs. But I wouldn't go receiver because he's already expecting, you know, I'm already expecting a lot of the top receivers to be gone.
I don't think
he's right with the – obviously, he knows his league better than we do, but I don't think those quarterbacks are going to go. 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the first round, I can't see that happening.
Yeah, man, that's – I don't know. But if it does happen, you're going to have – you know what, though? If that does happen, you're going to have a lot more value coming back to you the third round because then people are going to panic in the second round for quarterbacks as well. So if people start taking quarterbacks off the board like they're on fire, that might only help his case.
Right. That's true.
So –
All right, let's look. What's the next email here? Our good friend Butters is back. Hey,
Butters
fellas.
Is back again.
Yes, this is a guy from, Butters' character from South Park. Hey, fellas, it's me, Butters, and I'm back for some fantasy football. I have a question for y'all in a full-point PPR league. Who would you rather have as your running back one if you take an elite wide receiver with your first pick, Giovanni Bernard or Monte Ball?
Oh, man. Well, we got them ranked back to back, 6 and 7. They got a difference of 5 points between them. Flip a coin.
Hairs.
Yeah, it's a coin flip at that point. Monte Ball is probably on the better offense. He's got Peyton Manning behind him. You got to flip a coin. When you go with your gut at that point, you can't really go wrong if you get the option between one of those two guys.
We have a next email is, what is this guy's name? Lakeshire from Pennsylvania. Lakeshire.
Sorry for butchering the name. We're doing our best.
We're just going to go with LS on this one.
LS
from Reading.
All right.
I just wanted to know what grade you guys would give my roster for my first draft this past Sunday. All right, so this is a guy looking for a little bit of a team analysis here, Ant. He had a draft this past Sunday. At quarterback, he's got Phillip Rivers.
Strong.
Running back,
probably
Jamal Charles, Ellington, C.J. Spiller, Steven Ridley and Danny Woodhead. I like his running backs as long as he starts two of them. If he has a flex, Spiller and a flex, not bad. Let's see. Hopefully he does a little bit better with his wide receivers. He's got Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, Larry Fitz, Jeremy Maclin, Sammy Watkins, and Emmanuel Sanders. Again, another team with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I understand if there's going to be a team you stack up on wide receivers, it's the Broncos. But I might want to trade maybe Emmanuel Sanders and Jeremy Maclin, you try to upgrade at running back a little bit?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. We don't know the scoring system. I mean, if it's a PPR team, having Danny Woodhead for your flex would not be a bad option either.
plus Charles and Andre Ellington.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
give this team a B+.
Yeah, I do like what I see. Even in a standard league, Jamal Charles, Andre Ellington, you can't go wrong. Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson. I mean, you can't go wrong in either way. A higher grade for a PPR league, but definitely a solid B.
I don't know how he got his hands on Jamal Charles, Demaryius Thomas, Andre Ellington, and Jordy Nelson.
Some questions you just can't answer. I mean,
yeah, I guess that's one of them. All right, moving on. Yeah. Next is from Perio4. Sup, guys? What are your thoughts on Devontae Freeman? Is Hard Knocks going to become the opposite of the Madden curse? That's great.
Anti-Madden curse.
The anti-Madden curse, Hard Knocks. Liking what I see out of him. Hate the show is on, or he would be lesser known. That's I have that feeling. Same thing that happened to Gio last year. I traded Steven Jackson last year, and it paid off big. So I think this hammy is going to happen him all year long. What happens with Jaquizz Rodgers if Steven Jackson sits? Didn't get his first-string carries instead of Freeman. All right, so we got a lot here from Perio4. Pretty high on Devontae Freeman. You've seen him on Hard Knocks, which if you haven't been watching, it's a great show. Check it out on HBO. But Devontae Freeman, drafted out of the fourth round from Florida State, expected to take over for Steven Jackson early on. He's done that so far in preseason. But this last game, we saw Jaquizz Rodgers running with the twos, or excuse me, running with the ones a bit more than Freeman. Also, what's his name? Their left tackle, Edwin Baker, out for the year with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Sam Baker, yeah. Out for the year with a torn ACL. That's a big hit, not just for Matt Ryan, but also for their running game.
Yeah, it really hurts. I mean, you're moving over rookie Matthews. He was
right.
Going to get some time at right tackle, get acclimated to the NFL. He's going to move over a little bit quick. I mean, he's got the talent. He's got the history, especially, you know, his family genes that he can play. So I don't think it's going to hurt that bad. But then you're moving someone into right tackle who's not an everyday starter. It is going to hurt the running game as well as the passing game for Atlanta with him being down.
All right, next email is from Dan Stewart. Hi, this is my first time contacting you guys after 2 years of listening to the show. Wow, okay. I love your show, and I've been getting better in my leagues every year because of your show. Thank you very much, Dan. What took you so long? My question, I'm in a 10-team PPR league, and it turns out everyone now gets to keep a player from last season. Unfortunately, it has to be the league with my weakest team. I was wondering if you could look at my roster and tell me who would you keep off this list. So this is for Dan in Morgantown, PA. Where's his team here? Do you see the screenshot?
Yeah, I got you right here. So his team.
Brees, Gore, Brown, Nix, Bolden, Davis, MJD. Oh, boy. Julius Thomas, I guess? Randall
Julius
Cobb?
Thomas, you got Randall Cobb. I would say, between Julius Thomas and Randall
Ben
Cobb,
Tate?
Those are your two best.
Like, does he lose a draft pick?
Yeah, that's what we don't know. If you lose a draft pick, Ben Tate is probably a free agent pickup, so you're losing the background pick. But, again, if Julius Thomas was a free agent pickup, you better hang on to him. That's your best bet. Randall Cobb, another guy, like we said, you probably got him late. If you're losing a draft pick, one of those two is probably your best bet.
Yeah. Take a break from the emails quickly. We'll go to Brandon in Pennsylvania. What's going on, dude?
Hello?
Brandon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just had a quick question for you guys.
We got a quick answer.
I'm in the 10-team PPR keeper league. I won't go into who the keepers are, but it looks like in the third round I'm going to go for a wide receiver. And I just was wondering who you guys would choose out of Pierre Garçon, Larry Fitzgerald, or Keenan Allen.
You said PPR?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw Fitzgerald out of the mix. Anthony, you like Allen or Pierre better?
Man, Keenan Allen, he's going to be the go-to weapon. Pierre Garçon adding DeSean Jackson, he's going to lose a couple targets every single game there. Keenan Allen, he's been working on getting a little bit faster.
Yep.
I think Keenan Allen's going to be the guy that you're going to want to target if you're picking at that back end of the third round in a PPR league.
In the PPR
he's
league,
wide receiver one, though.
He's your wide receiver one?
Yeah.
Man. Why?
Because of the keepers, I lost my second-round pick. My first pick, I'm going to go Eddie Lacy, and so I want to start stacking up on my wide receivers after the second round.
Who are you keeping in the second?
In the second, I got Forte.
So Forte and Lacy?
Yeah.
You can afford to have a Keenan Allen as your number one.
Yeah, those are two very strong running backs.
Yeah, that's two top five guys.
So you say Keenan Allen, definitely.
I mean, listen, if he's there, then that's what we take. They're separated by 7 points on our cheat sheet, Allen and Garçon. Okay. And Fitz is 15 points below him.
Okay, so
Allen's, Allen's 10, Garçon's 12, Fitz is 18.
Okay.
All right?
All right, well, sounds good. Thanks,
but if Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson or Antonio Brown are there, that's, you know, take those guys instead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just doing a worst-case scenario mock draft where wide receivers go early, and it seems like those three might be what I end up having to pick from.
Gotcha.
Like, obviously, if Randall Cobb or, you know, Vincent Jackson, I'll get them instead.
All right. Appreciate the call, Brandon. Thanks for sticking in with the Fantasy Football Champs. And we got three more emails to get to. 5 minutes left in the show. Can we do it?
I think we can fire through them real quick, get everybody's questions answered, man.
All right, Jeff Kuhn. Hello, gentlemen. I have the number two pick in our upcoming 14-team PPR league. In the past, I've only participated in 12-team leagues. Do you have any advice or strategies for a 14-team snake draft? And what's the biggest league you're in?
The only leagues I do right now are 12-team leagues. I won't play anything less than a 12-team league, though.
Yeah, 10 and 12-team leagues for me. I'm not in a 14-team league.
I haven't done one personally. I've been at drafts with a couple of my buddies who've done it and been there to witness what's going on. Quarterbacks tend to go a lot faster in a 14-team league. Even though it might not be a 6-point-per-touchdown pass, I know they go faster. Obviously, you're not taking one with a number two pick, but that's just one thing to be aware of. They will go a lot faster than a 12-team league.
If you're in a 14-team league and you're somewhere in the middle rounds, I'm okay with him reaching for players that he really wants.
Right.
Check out the hour guys list. Check out the undervalued list. I think if you're in the middle of position, you can start reaching for guys because average draft position means squat when you're in the middle round of a, you're in the middle pick of a 14-team draft. So I would try to reach for guys if you're in a middle round. If you're toward the end of each side, first four picks, last four picks, then you'll probably want to be smart and go with depth, running back, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, but I wouldn't go crazy and go quarterback, tight end.
No. No, not at all. And the thing you said was you got the number two pick, so obviously you're going to get a Charles or McCoy. You're going to start off strong.
Oh, he has the number two pick. My
bad. Yeah, number two pick. So, again, you're going to get Charles
right
or McCoy, whoever you want, and on the way back, see what's shaking out in the draft. You might still be able to grab yourself a good wide receiver, a Jordy Nelson, or maybe Randall Cobb comes back to you, and go from there. See who's the best available in the second and third round.
All right, so I'm highlighting now all of the emails that we did not get to. They'll get a personal response from me later on tonight. But we do have let's skip over our guy Jag's email since we talked to him a little bit earlier in the show. Let's go to Cody in Illinois. He has the final email of the day.
All right, so Cody in Illinois. He says he's in a 2-quarterback PPR keeper league. That's different. And it's my first year doing fantasy football, and the top players from my team are AP, Forte, Julio Jones, and Tom Brady. Since it's a 2-quarterback league, I don't know if I should franchise AP and Forte and take Manning in the first round. He has a second overall pick. Or franchise AP and Tom Brady and take another running back in the first round.
It seems like he gets the same three players no matter what.
Yeah, it looks that way. I think keeping Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, and selecting Peyton Manning with the second overall pick is going to start you off super, super strong because you can get a quarterback later on like a Nick Foles or a Cam Newton or a Phillip Rivers, and you're still going to have two strong quarterbacks and two of the top three or four running backs in the league.
Because if he ends up franchising Peterson and Brady, guess who he's taking number two? It's Matt Forte. So keep Matt Forte from the get-go and then just take Peyton Manning number two.
Yeah, that was just going to start off real, real strong.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, man.
Nice team.
Pretty sick. We got about a minute left in the show. Let's finish off with some closing thoughts. We'll go to our producer, Kevin Collins, first. What do you got?
What do I got with what?
Closing thoughts.
I don't know, Bill. I don't really have any thoughts.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I appreciate, though, you very much taking some time out of your free time to help me this week with my keepers.
Who'd you end up going with?
But can my closing thought be a big thank you to Bill Enright?
There you go.
I ended up taking your advice, and I have... So you have to have two keepers, and one keeper is Shady McCoy, who will be my first-round pick, which is the 8th pick overall. Mm-hmm. And my second keeper will be Matthew Stafford, who will count as... a 4th-round pick.
There you go.
So I will have my first and fourth taken care of and then free to pick with my second and third.
You never got back to me about my question. Are you coming down to the city?
For the preseason game?
Yeah.
I anticipate it. I just don't know for sure like what my travel plan will be. I won't know till after this game on Friday.
All right, well, maybe we'll get together then.
But the
we got a couple weeks to
talk. I got a quick question for you, Bill.
Yeah, what do you
have the second and third picks like I do, or second and third-round picks like I do, and you are going to have a keeper tailback and a keeper quarterback, mm-hmm. Would you try to go for like a second stud running back, or would you try to balance it out and go for a wide receiver in the second round?
One running back, one wide receiver, because if you go two wide receivers, you're not going to get your second running back until the fifth round because you're keeping stuff.
So you would split it. You'd try to take a tailback in the the second round, a wide out in the third, or reverse?
No, you might need to go with a Brandon Marshall, a Julio Jones, and A.J. Green in the second round.
Okay.
And then scoop up an Alfred Morris, an Andre Ellington, someone of that caliber in the third round.
That makes sense. I appreciate it. But thank you very much for helping me out this week, and I did take your advice.
Without playing. Play on, play on. Anthony, closing thoughts. What do you got? Kev, you're going to win that league this year.
I hope so. I came in third last year. It was a big step. That was the first year I placed in the money.
All right. Well, that was also the first year you started listening to us.
No, it's the second year.
The year before that, you drafted.
You're right. You're right. Okay. I was the king of trades the year before that.
Oh, you're that guy.
Yes, he is that guy. Oh, I can't wait until you hear some of these trades he's got going. He can cock. Week one, he'll want to trade. Week one, the first quarter of week one, he'll be texting me. What do you think about this trade?
Do you understand the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie trades?
All right, Anthony, what do you got for a closing thought?
Oh, man. Well, if we're talking about trade, and listen, draft a team you know that if you can't get a trade for, you're going to want to keep and you're going to love, and don't worry about trading. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Draft who you think is going to win you a championship. Draft like you're not going to be able to trade. That's the best thing I can say about that.
Absolutely great show today. Phenomenal callers, phenomenal emailers. If you're listening to the show on demand, don't forget, you can hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps. Check out the free offer for an FFChamps.com membership. FFChamps.com/Pats. We got to give a big shout out to our sponsors, DraftKings.com, for making it happen, and all the good folks at Patriots.com Radio. For Kevin Collins, Anthony Grace, I am Bill Enright. Best of luck to all of you drafting your fantasy football leagues. We'll be back on Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.